Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Erech and Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin from the Mishnah, the first Mishnah that you see on Daf Lamed Beis. You'll find it in the middle of the narrow lines of the Gemara. Before learning the Mishnah, let us glance at the outside margin under our Nosei heading. In the Shas Ozer, which is the Shas that appears on your screen, which is also the cornerstone of Gemara markings, we feature topic headings called Nosei and structural notes called Mivneh when needed. Under the Nosei heading, we have indicated Aleph, point 1, Machlekes ma nichlal bi'ir choyma, what is included when we speak about the sale of a property in a walled city. We know certainly from our from the Psukim and from our previous Gemaras that houses sold in walled cities fall under the rules of sales in walled cities. What else is included besides a formal or conventional house? Also, point Beis, Machlokes binyan, Bayis habonui besoch hachoma. You can have walls that are very thick. They're so thick that you can actually have a house built in the wall itself. What is its status? The Mishnah. Kol shehu lifnim min hachoma harei hu kebote orei choma chutz min hasodos. Anything, any type of property that's within a walled city has the status of Bote Orechoma, will have the same standards as we apply to houses in walled cities, which primarily means the forced redemption that an owner, that original owner, has a right to do within a year. Namely, within a year of the sale of the property, he can force the buyer to sell it back to him. This is true with the exception of fields in walled cities. Rabbi Meir Omer Af Hasodus. Rabbi Meir goes so far as to say even fields. And even though the Pasuk makes a reference to a bias, we will include even that. Bias Haboni B'Choma. This is the second topic we introduced earlier. A house that's built in the wall itself. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Eino Kibote Erechoma. It does not have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the standards of a house in a walled city. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Koiso Hachitzon Hi Chomoso. The outer edge of the wall constitutes the wall with regard to the house that's built inside the wall. The Gemara continues with a Tanaic source. You can see the next number of lines are in a frame, indicating in our Gemara marking system that this is a Tanaic source. Tana Rabbanan Bayis. The Pasuk makes a reference to a house in a walled city. Ainli Ela Bayis, I would think only houses. Minayim L'Rabois, from where do I know to include all kinds of other structures? Bote Badim, presses where olive oil is pressed into oil. Bote Merchotzos, bathhouses. Migdolos, cupboards or permanent closets that are built into the ground. Veshovchin, bird coops, boros, veshichin moros, different types of pits, different sizes and different qualities of pits. How do I know that all of these are included under the standards of Bote Orechoma? Talmud Lomar, Asher Bo'ir. This is in the Pasuk. And Asher Bo'ir means anything in the city. Yochol Shani Marba Fasados, should I think to include even fields that are in walled cities? Talmud Lomar, Bias, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The word bias does exclude something. It excludes fields. Rabbi Meir Omer Bias. Rabbi Meir's approach is, he cites this word bias and he says, Ein li elo bias, I would know only a house. Minayin l'rabos, from where do I know to include all of the things that Rabbi Yehuda included? plus feels, you can see on the next line that's dashed, underlined, the unique feature that Rabbi Meir is adding. So from where do I know to include? Even fields. Talmud Lomar, Asher Bo'ir. Well, now the Gemara asks, Velahok Siv Bayis, according to Rabbi Meir, well, doesn't it say house, and doesn't house serve to limit what's included? Omar of Chisda, Omar of Katina. Chulsis Umitsula Ika Binayu. The point of difference between Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir concerns these kinds of properties that are non-arable. We'll read on a little bit before we look toward the Rashi. V'hotanya. V'hotanya in this case is a source brought in as a support. Usually V'hotanya is a question, a challenge, but here it is stated v'nichusa as support. Chulsis umitsula, these types of different qualities of land, as we said, they're not arable. It's chulsis is something that's rocky, and mitsula is something that's full of sand or dirt. Rabbi Meir Omer Kibotim. Rabbi Meir says that these are considered like having the din of a house. Rabbi Yuda Omer Kisados. They are the din. They have the din of fields, of arable fields. What comes out of this Gemara is that everyone agrees, even Rabbi Meir, who is willing to include Sados, but not all Sados, cultivating fields, cultivatable fields, or arable fields, even Rabbi Meir agrees, are excluded by the term bias. However, fields that you cannot cultivate, but in fact have the raw materials for house construction, chulsis, fields that are full of stones and dirt or sand that is also a construction material, according to Rabbi Meir, are viewed like houses, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda says, no, they are not. They're not structures. They therefore are viewed as sadas, as fields. We continue in the Gemara. Bayis habonei b'choima, a house built into a wall. Rabbi Yehuda Omer eino kebote orechoma. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ushnehem mikro echad darshu. The two opinions found in our Mishnah regarding a house built into the wall of a city. We saw in our Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda versus Rabbi Shimon. Both darshan, they both expound on the same pasuk. The pasuk is found in Sefer Yoshua, where Rahav was protecting the two spies that were sent by Yoshua, and it says regarding that story about Toridein Bechevel Ba'arachalon, she lowered them by a rope through a window to the outside of the wall of Yericho. Ki beisa bakir hachoma uvachoma hi yoshevis. The pasuk says that her house was in the wall of the city. Rabbi Shimon Savar Kipashtei Dekra. Rabbi Shimon, whose opinion we saw in the Mishnah, saying that it's considered the house built into the wall is considered a house in a walled city. He looks at the pasuk on its simple level of reading, and we look at Rashi Kipashtei Dekra. The Chazinon, the Beisa, Besoch HaChoma. We saw that her house is in the wall. The Komar, Bechoma Hiyoshevis. And the Pasuk itself attests to the fact that she's sitting within the wall. Klomar, Be'ir, Choma Hiyoshevis. She's sitting within a walled city. So, being that that's the case, a house built into the wall is considered a house in a walled city. Going on in the Gemara, though, Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda looks at the Pasuk differently. He says, Bechomo hiyoshevis v'lo be'ir choma. She's in a wall. She's not within the city surrounded by a wall. And as a result of that, since Rabbi Yehuda says that she's not considered in a city surrounded by the wall, but she's in the wall itself, so that type of apartment, that type of property or house is not considered a house within a walled city, and hence it doesn't come under the standards and laws that govern sales of houses within walled cities. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we glance at our topic heading in the outside margin. Ir, a city, she'ga goyseh choymosa. Literally, where its roofs form its wall, which we will see is really a reference to houses that are built in a contiguous fashion where there is one roof that essentially runs over many, many houses. They're all connected. These houses share common walls, and hence one roof covers all of them. If, let us say, you have a situation like that, where the houses then essentially, when they're built in a continuous fashion, in a round manner, are they considered? Is that considered a house in a walled city? Well, it might not even necessarily be to be in an around manner, but is that considered a walled city? The second point that we will be seeing is Rishima, a list shayoros of cities shayimukafos mimos Yeshua ben Nun that were walled from the time of Yeshua's entrance into the land of Israel. The Mishnah, Ir Shigagoisel Choymosa. Rashi explains Shigagoisel Choymosa. Shelo hikifu achoma, houses that were not surrounded by a wall. Ela hikifu bebatim. Utkufos habatim zulazuk achoma. Rashi is describing a situation where you have houses built within an area, surrounded by houses that are built in this contiguous fashion, where there is essentially one continuous roof covering lots of houses. And as we actually retracted earlier, but we'll say it now again, houses that are built, let's say, in a round fashion, they're surrounding an area, and within the surrounded area you've got normal houses. However, what's surrounding the area? Not a wall, but houses that are built in a contiguous fashion, whereby, in a sense, the outside walls of these houses form a wall. However, if they're not built as a formal wall, they're simply built as houses, one right next to the other. And this scenario has these houses built one right next to the other, surrounding an entire area of other regular houses. So are those, how do we look at the houses within that area? Another point, v'she'eino mukefes choyme miyosim Yeshua ben Nun, or you have a walled city, but the wall was not set up at the time Yeshua entered Israel. So in these two cases, eino kibote orechoma, these are not considered walled cities with regard to the din of bote orechoma. The elu hein bote orechoma, here is a description of what is the minimum size of a walled city. Shalosh chatzeros, shel shnei botim, three courtyards, into each courtyard a minimum of two houses. Mukefes choyma mimos Yeshua ben Nun. And these courtyards with their houses that open into them, these are all surrounded by a wall that dates back to the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Kagon, and examples of these are Katsra Hayashana Shel Tzipori, the old Katsra in of Tzipori, the Chokra Shel Gush Cholov, Chokra of the Gush Cholov area, the Yudfas Hayashana, the Gamla, Ugedud, the Hadid, the Una, Virsholayim, the Chain Kayotze Bohen. So we have a list of names concluding with an expression and all other places like that. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source, Choma. The word Choma appears in the Pasuk dealing with the houses in walled cities. Velo Shor Iger. The word Choma comes to exclude the case of Shor Iger. Shor Iger is the Gagosel Chomosel situation that we saw described in the Mishnah. It wasn't a formal wall that surrounded the city, but rather a series of houses built, one attached to the other, that were built in a surrounding fashion. Soviv, the word Soviv, Prat L'Teveria. The Pasuk speaks about a wall surrounding the city. The city of Teveria is a city located on the lake of Tiberias, or the Kinneret, Yam HaKinneret. So, what is the nature of that city? One side of the city is on the lake, on the Sea of Tiberias. So, She Yama Chomasa, the sea constitutes its wall, so to speak. So that's excluded. In other words, Tveria is not considered a house in Tveria, would not be, because even though the other sides of Tveria were surrounded by a wall, nevertheless, it's not considered a bias bate or a choma. Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yossi Omer, Asher loy choma. The pasuk in the Torah appears spelled Lamed Vav Aleph. So we actually extract from this word two words. The word Lamed Vav means that it has. The word Lamed Aleph would mean is a negation, that it does not have. So from this we learn, Afalpi She'ein Loi Achshav, even though it doesn't have a wall right now, V'hoya Lo Kodem Lachem, but it once had a wall at the time that Yeshua entered the land of Israel, that's enough to make a city considered a bias, or a city of an Ir Choma, and the houses therein are called Bias Bebote Ir Choma. The Eluhain Bote Ore Choma V'chulei. This piece of Gemara will deal with the list of names of cities. Tana Gamla B'Galil. A Tanaic source says that Gamla in Galil V'Gudud Be'eva HaYarden. Gudud is a place on the eastern bank of the Jordan. V'Chodid V'Una V'Shalayim B'Yuda. The Gemara asks, Mai Ko'amar? The basis of this question is really, or the explanation of the question is found in the Rashi, who reads as follows: V'chi ein ir mukevas choma begolil elogamla. Is there only one walled city in the whole Galilee region? Ube'eva yarden elogadud. And is there no walled city in Transjordan, on the eastern side of the Jordan River, other than Gedud? And yet, in reading the source, it seems to say that, well, in the Golil you have only Gamla. The Eivar Yarden, you only have Gedud. So, is that really so? Omar Abaye, Hochi Komar. Now we have, you'll notice a number one over Abaye. This is in anticipation of a second approach featured by Rova, three lines from the top. Abaye says, Hochi Komar, Ad Gamlo B'Golil. All the cities in Golil until Gamlo were surrounded by walls from the time of Yeshua. Ad Gedud be'Eiver HaYarden, and in the area of Eiver HaYarden, up till the area of the city of Gedud, they were all walled from the time of Yeshua. V'Chodid V'Una of Yerushalayim B'Yehuda, and in the Yehuda region, which is the third of these regions, we have Golil, Eiver HaYarden, and Yehuda. You have these cities are walled from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. Number two, Rava Omar, and by the way, under our Nose heading, we have a reference to these two deos, and we've written in the outside margin, Shnei Hezberim, L'Rashim Oshayoros, and Luzkos B'Braisa, B'Sof Amad Aleph, K'mukov Hezmeos Yeshua, B'Nun. Two explanations regarding the list of houses, or the list of cities mentioned in the Braisa on the end of Amad Aleph. So now Rava's approach is, Gamla B'Golil, the reference to Gamla in Golil isn't saying that only in Golil only Gamla was walled, but it's Lafuke Gamla de Shara Rotsis. It's to the exclusion of Gamla, a city named Gamla, in any of the other regions, that only the Gamla of Golil was walled from the time of Yeshua. But let's say Gamla Be'Eiver HaYarden, if there was such a place, would not be was not walled from the time of Yeshua. Likewise, Gedud Beva Hayarden, Lafuki Gedud, the Sha'arotzas, only the Gedud, the city of Gedud in Eva Hayarden, is walled from the time of Yeshua, to the exclusion of Gedud that's found in other regions. Enoch, the other cities in general, the Lo Iko Dich Kavosayu, Lo Itzdrich Le. Other cities didn't have, we'll call them twins in other lands, so there is no need to specify the names of other cities. But there were, in fact, many, many other walled cities from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. The Gemara asks, Yerushalayim mi michlat bo bayis? We featured Yerushalayim above as an example of a walled city from the time of Yeshua ben Nun, and it would follow that a house sold in Yerushalayim, if not redeemed by the original owner within a year, the seller would hold on to it permanently. So the Gemara asks, is that really so? Yerushalayim mi michlat bo bayis va tanya. We have the following Tanaic source. Asor dvarim nemru b'Yerushalayim, 10 halachas applied to Yerushalayim, and one of them is ein habayis cholut bo. Houses do not become permanently held by purchasers. So we have a bit of a problem right now. The source that we were dealing with from Omid Aleph, and it was a reference to the on the top of this Omid, together with Chodid and Uno, Yerushalayim was an example of a walled city in the area of Yehuda, indicating to us that Yerushalayim is subject to the dinim of Botei Rechoma. Here we have a source that says, Ein habayis cholut bo, that houses do not become permanently held by purchasers. So, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan attempts to resolve these sources. He's the first approach, Yerushalayim. However, he's going to say Yerushalayim, and the next line at the end he says, Velo Yerushalayim. When we say Yerushalayim in the context of Botei Rechoma, so it's Yerushalayim de mukeves mechoyim yosim Yeshua ben Nun. Yerushalayim is simply an example of a city wall from the time of Yeshua ben Nun. For low Yerushalayim, however, not like Yerushalayim, other walled cities don't have the dinim of Shalayim. Yerushalayim ein habayis cholot bo. With regard to Yerushalayim, houses do not become permanently held. The ilu hocha, with regard to other cities with walls from the time of Yeshua, habayis cholot bohen, so that when the reference to Yerushalayim was made, it was a reference to one aspect of Yerushalayim, but not that all other walled cities have the same dinim as Yerushalayim. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi is a second approach. He says, Lav Omar Rav Yosef, is it not so that Rav Yosef said in Maseches Makis, Trei Kodesh Havu, there are two places carrying the name of Kodesh. In Maseches Makis, the discussion concerned cities of refuge. So, it is necessary to point out that there were two places called Kodesh. Hochinami, so too in the issue in our discussion, Trei Yerushalayim Havu. There were two cities with the name Yerushalayim. So that you can have very very simply one Yerushalayim houses sold, one Yerushalayim was walled from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun, and houses sold therein do become permanently held, and the other Yerushalayim, we say houses sold therein do not become permanently held. As we look on in the Gemara, we see a new geometric form. We see a diamond and Roman numerals present. On the outside margin under the Nosei Mivne heading, we have included Shnei Mekoros Shesosro Zezeh Binyan Kedusha Rishona Yikicha Gam Losed Lavoi. This is a very well-known sugya. It appears in a number of different Gemaras. It concerns the initial sanctity status that was gained upon the entrance of Yoshua to the land of Israel. And here we'll be focusing primarily on laws concerning walled cities. Walled cities being considered having a certain higher level of sanctity than other places. What happened with regard to that sanctity and all the laws that follow therefrom upon the exile of the Jews during the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? When Ezra came back approximately 70 years later during the Babylonian exile, time between the two Botei Mikdash, do we say that during that time the sanctity was lost? And then upon Ezra's return, do we say that it was the sanctity was reinstated? Or do we say that the original sanctity was never botel? We might also come out saying that once the sanctity was lost, it's lost. So let us now see the Gemara on this topic. Tanya, Omer Bishmo Rabiosi, Lama Monu Chachomim Es Elu. Why did the Chachomim enumerate the cities that they did in our Mishnah? Shekisha'olu B'nei HaGoyla Matsu Elu V'Kitchum. When there was a return during the time of Ezra, which is the time known as the Second Temple period, they found these cities and sanctified them. Afol Rishonos Batlu, but those original cities that had been with their walled city status are void. Mishabotlo Kedushas Haaretz. When the sanctity associated with the land became voided at the time of the destruction of the temple, so all the other cities lost their sanctity. So that what we're saying here is that the original Kedusha was not permanent. The cities that are enumerated in the Mishnah were re-sanctified by Ezra, but that applies to those few cities, but not to the rest. What do we see? Kosavra Kedusha Rishona, Kitchela Shaita, Velo Kitchela Sudlovo. The original Kedusha that those other cities had as a result of Yoshua's entering the land were sanctified, but not permanently. Veromini, we have a Tanakh source, which opens up with Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, and it will essentially contradict that which we said. Omar Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, v'chi elu bilvad hoyu, are only the Mishnah mentioned cities, the walled cities from the time of Yoshua, v'lo kvar ne'amar. It's already been said in the Pasuk, shishim ir kol chevel argoiv kol ela orum b'tzuros. A reference here is of 60 cities in the Argov region that all were fortified cities. Those are cities that are walled. So what do we see? We see that there were many more walled cities than that which the Mishnah enumerates. Elolamo monu chachomim ezelu. So why are these featured in the Mishnah? Shekisha'olu b'nei ha'goyla. Skipping these two lines of brackets. When Ezra came back with the exiles from Bavel, Motsu Elu Umonum, they found those that are mentioned in the Mishnah and counted them. Velo Elu Bilvad, but not only those. Elo Kol Shetale Locha Maseros Biyadcha Mevasecha Shivukefes Michoim Mevaser Shuanun. Any city that you happen to have a tradition on from your forebears that it was surrounded by a wall from the time of Yeshua, call mitzvahs halalu noago yisba. All of these mitzvahs will apply. You can see how we've emphasized this with a dashed underline. So we see that we have a contradiction. Rabbi Yishmael reveals in the first source saying, Mishabot la kedusha saaretz, and here it says, V'kitsha la sidlavo. In order to resolve this contradiction, we see two approaches, and they're enumerated here with numbers 1 and the next line number 2. Ibo yesemo tre tanoi valibo de Rabbi Shmuel. One approach is that we have two Tanaic versions as to what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi ever said. And those are represented by these two sources, so they're not essentially contradictions other than a controversy as to what the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was. The Iboy Esema, Chad Minayu Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi Omra. One of the two sources, in fact the source that says that the sanctity of Yoshua's time was of a permanent nature, was stated by Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi, not Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Desanya, Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Yossi Omer, Asher Loi Choyma. He focuses on this pasuk, and we learn from here, Afa pi she'ein lo achshav, v'hoya lo kodem lochein. Even though it doesn't have now, it's enough that it had originally. That's enough to give it this status of a walled city. And it should be noted that this opinion we essentially saw on Omid, on the Lamed Beis, Omid Aleph, and you can see that we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, enabling you to find on Omid Aleph where this is from. And on Omid Aleph, you'll notice a toward the bottom, three lines from the bottom, a corresponding arrow indicating Omid Beis. We now continue in the Gemara. My taimo demandomar kedusha rishona kitsha l'shaita v'loy kitsha l'asid lava. What is the basis of this opinion that the original kedusha was not of a permanent nature? Notice we have a long answer marking, the tuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, with a vertical, descending vertical dash line indicating all of these lines form the answer. Dichtiv. A pasuk says, pasuk taken from Sefer Nehemiah, Perek Ches, pasuk Yud Zayin. This is the book that features the stories and incidents upon the return of the exiles from the Bavel, from the Babylonian exile, following the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. So it says, Vayasu kol hakohol hashovim minashevi sukos. Vayeshu basukos, says that the exiles coming, the returnees, constructed sukos. Kilo osu mime Yeshua bin Nun Cain bin Israel. Vati simcha gedolim od. Now, this pasuk on the superficial level says that in the time of the return of Ezra and Nehemiah to Eretz Yisrael, they constructed sukkah, something that they had not done from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. Now, hard to understand this. Efshir bo David v'lo'asu sukkos, bo Shlomo v'lo'asu sukkos, ad shebo Ezra. Is it possible that during the reign of these great religious leaders, David, the King David, and King Solomon, they didn't build sukkahs until Ezra came? Ella, what's the point of this pasuk? Ella makish bi osam bi me Ezra le bi osam bi me Yoshua. There is an attempt in this pasuk to parallel the arrival of the Jews in the time of Ezra to the arrival of the Jews in the time of Yehoshua. And that which it says, ki lo asu, is not going on the issue of sukkos. So what's the comparison? Ma bi asu bi Yehoshua, manu shmitim v'yovlos, v'kitshu orei choma. Just like in the time of Yehoshua, they started counting the Shemitah cycles and the Yovel cycles, and they sanctified the cities that had walls around them. Af bimos biosim bimei Ezra manu shmita viovos v'kitshu orei choma. Now we've dashed underline this. There was a re-sanctification of the walled cities. Why did we dash underline this? Don't forget, we're bringing all of this discussion in to point out that the original Kedusha was not sufficient. It wasn't permanent. Hence, there was a need to re-sanctify. The Omer, V'hevi'acho Hashem Elokecha el ha'aretz asher yorshu avosecha v'rishta. In this pasuk, there's a double expression of yorshu avosecha and then v'rishta. Makish yirushascha yirushas avosecha. There is a paralleling of your Yerusha to the your Yerusha, your inheritance of the land or taking over of the land to the original Yerusha, the original taking over of the land. Ma Yerushas Avosecha b'chidush kol advarim halolu. Just like the earlier, your forebearers inheriting of the land was through all of these, meaning all of these different sanctifications. Af Yerushasa b'chidush kol advarim halolu. So to your Yerusha, your reference to the later taking over, the later entrance to the land, also will engender these sanctifications. Now, the idach, the other opinion, the mandoma that says that it's kitsha l'asid lavo. What is the meaning of this pasuk? The pasuk featured in Nehemiah Perek Ches. So he explains, "Deboi rachami al yetzer davodazara ubatle." Ezra prayed for the nullification, the neutralizing of the evil inclination regarding idolatry. So that when the pasuk says ki lo asu, the lo asu is going on Sukkos, but not on Sukkos that are characteristic of the holiday of Sukkos. As we said, with regard to those kind of Sukkos, the holiday Sukkos, of course, the pasuk couldn't be taken at face value. In other words, you would never be able to say that Sukkos were built at the time of Yeshua and not again until the time of Ezra. That's ruled out. However, ki lo asu, they didn't do something. What is that? They didn't do, and you'll see it's going on Sukkos, but by way of an analogy. So we say here that this pasuk is talking about Ezra's praying for the nullification of the evil inclination for idolatry. And he was successful. Ubatle, it was neutralized. The Ogin Zechusa Olayu Kisuka. And they had merit that enabled them to pray for this and accomplish this goal. Just like a sukkah protects you, they had merits that protected them. Vahainu de kokopit kra iluya de Yoshua. We find that where Ezra davened and was successful, the pasuk has a sense of anger, if you will, trouble, we'll say, that we have with regard to Yoshua on this topic. Where do we see some kind of being upset with Yeshua over here? The Bechol Duchta Ksiv Yoshua, wherever Yoshua's name appears, it appears spelled out with fully. Yud, He, Vav, Shin, Ayin. V'hocha Ksiv Yeshua. But here, in the pasuk that we cited above, we find his name abbreviated, if you will, spelled out, missing a letter. And the Gemara explains this point as we go on. Bishlama Moshe Labo Rachami. I understand that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't pray for the nullification of this evil inclination. The Lohave Zechusa de Eretz Yisrael. He, Moshe Rabbeinu, never entered the land of Israel. So he didn't have the merit of the land of Israel. This merit of the land of Israel is something that enables prayers to be successful. So Moshe, realizing that he didn't have this merit, it's an amazing thought here, the greatest of our people, but lacking the merit of Israel, he understood that he couldn't pray for this. El Yoshua da'aveh le'zechuso d'eretz Yisrael amai lo liboi rachami. But Yoshua, who did enter the land of Israel, why didn't he pray for this? He should have prayed for the nullification of the evil inclination. The Gemara now asks a question that goes back to the issue of permanent Kedusha. V'hoksiv asher yorshu avosecha virishta. We have been most recently dealing with the opinion that said that there was permanent Kedusha, but doesn't the Pasuk say that we actually had seen earlier the double expression of Yerusha, Yorshua Vosehu Yishta, indicating that there is a need for a second sanctification? So, what does this opinion do with that point? The Gemara answers, Hochi ka'omar. Kevon de yorshu avosecha, yorashto ato. Since there was an original inheritance of the land with its accompanying sanctification, we benefit from that original Kedusha. In other words, the original Kedusha is permanent. The Gemara now asks regarding a point mentioned earlier, and in order to see where this point was mentioned, we have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can see it's a parallel with a star a bit above, in which we ask here, Umi Monu Shmitim V'Yovlos. This question, by the way, is a long question. You can see the long question marking the pierced immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, the encircled kuf, taking you to the bottom line. Above, it was mentioned that in the time of Ezra, they came and they started counting Shemitah cycles and Yovel cycles. However, could it really be that they counted Yovel cycles in the time of Ezra? Umi monu Shemitim v'Yovlos? Hashto, Mishagolu, Shevet Reuven, v'Shevet God, v'Chasi Shevet Menashe, Botlu Yovlos. From the time of the exile in the first temple period, this is when Sanherib, who was the ruler of Ashur, the Assyrian Empire, when they came and started plundering the land and started the exile process, that already, at that point, the Yovel cycle stopped. That's what we have emphasized here of Botlu Yovlos. Ezra, regarding Ezra, Dichtiv Be Kol Akol Kechol Arbo Ribo Alofim V'Sheish Meos V'Shishim Havemoni. In the time of Ezra's return, you had a bit over 40,000 people that returned, a far cry from the entire population of Israel. So that if only 2.5 tribes were sent into exile, which is a minority of the Jewish population, at that point there was a cancellation of Yovlos. At the time of Ezra, when there was a very small fraction of the Jewish people that came back to the land of Israel, would you think that they would count the Yovel cycle? The Sanya. And here we have a Tanaic source that gives the background to what is the basis of this analysis. It says, Mishigolu Shevet Reuven, V'Shevet God, V'Chatzi Shevet HaMenashe. When these tribes, the tribe of Reuven, God, and half of Menashe, went into exile, Botlu Yovlos, the Yovel cycle stopped. Shinema, Ukrosim Dor Boretz, L'chol Yoshvel. This is the pasuk that regards Yovel, that features Yovel. It says, you shall proclaim freedom to the land and all of its inhabitants. Bizman shekol yoshvel el. When does Yovel apply? When all of the inhabitants are upon the land. Below bizman shigolu miksasa, not at a point in time when part of them have gone into exile. So from the pasuk you see that even if part of the nation, even if it's a minority, but a part is in exile, no Yovel. Yachol hayu aleha v'heimu ravin shevet binyamin biyuda v'shevet yuda b'binyamin yehe yovel noheg. Furthermore, imagine everyone is on the land, but the tribes have become intermingled, that people that are associated with Shevet Binyamin are living in the Yehuda region. People that are associated with Shevet Yehuda are living in the Binyamin region. Would you think that Yovel is to be practiced? Talmud Lomar, L'chol Yoshveha, Bizman Shi Yoshvel Ketikunon, when people are dwelling as they were expected to dwell, meaning in their own tribes. V'lo Bizman Shehem Urafa, not when they're all intermingled. So at this point, the question is raised, just to review the question. Above, it was mentioned that upon the return of Ezra, they started counting the Shemitah and Yovel cycle. We see from here that the Yovel cycle could not possibly be in practice when, in the time of Ezra, when so few people actually came back to the land of Israel. The Gemara answers, Omer of Nachman bar Yitzchok, Monu Yovlos, Lekadesh Shemitim. they counted a Yovel cycle, not because the laws of Yovel would apply. They would not apply those laws, including the return of inheritance lands to original owners if they had been sold, or laws regarding freedom of Eved Ivris that had their ears bored, etc. Those laws won't apply. However, the need for counting a Yovel cycle was important in order to determine when the Shemitah year would be established. So what we really have here is, now, the Shemitah year had halachas that would apply, according to, of course, what we're saying over here. And in a course of 50 years, you would have seven Shemitah cycles. In other words, every 7 years, you would have a Shemitah. However, after year 49 was a Shemitah year. Year 50 would be called Yovel. However, not with regard to the practice of Yovel laws, but it would be called, we'll call it year 50, in order to know that the next year would be the first of a new Shemitah cycle. This approach, and we're at the top of the Lamed Gimel, this approach that suggests that during the time of Ezra, they would have counted Yovels for the purpose of establishing the Shemitah cycle, that is a good explanation according to the Rabbonan, the Amri Shnas Chamishim Eino Min Aminyan, that the 50th year is not one of the years of a Shemitah cycle, of a 7 year cycle. So, being that that's the case, I have to establish a separate and isolated year 50, and that we accomplish by counting a Yovel cycle of 50 years, and thereby enabling me to know that the next year would start the new Shemitah cycle. However, Elulur Bihuda Yomar Shnas Chamishim Oyle Lekan Ulekan Lomali B'Shemitin Sadya. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that says year 50 counts as year 1 as well. In other words, as you count groups of 7 and you reach 49 and you call the next year 50, you should realize that next year 50 is also year 1. So that in effect, you have a cycle of 49 years. Every 49 years, the following year is called Yovel, but it's also called year 1. So you don't need to have a special 50-year counting cycle. That's what's meant by the expression here, b'shmitim sagya, by counting shmitas, it's enough. It's enough to establish your shmita cycle by simply counting a cycle of 49 years. So the Gemara says, you've got a point there, and ha vadai delo kareb Yehuda. The explanation that we gave till now of Ezra's counting a Yovel cycle is not in accordance with Reb Yehuda, but rather this analysis is in accordance with the Rabbanan. The Gemara now has a series of questions that you can see we are using a triangle with its point up and then point down on the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh heading. We call this a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of a back and forth style discussion. The point facing up represents Kushos and the point facing down represents Shuvos. And we're dealing here Birur im Bimei Sancheire V'achrov Hoya Din Yovel. We're going to be looking at this issue of, was there a law of Yovel from the time of Sancheirev's conquest onwards? We said up till now, and we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a squiggle arrow, indicating to look back at Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and you will see toward the lower part of the page, the second wide line of the Gemara there, to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text there, a squiggle arrow. At that point in the Gemara, it was stated that at the time of the exile of the 2.5 tribes, in the time of Sancheirev, Batlu Yovlos. Here, we now are going to ask, V'lo manu shmitim v'yovlos. Is it so that from that time on there was no more yovel counting? V'hoksiv. There's a pasuk that appears at a time period of the king of Tzidkio. Tzidkio was later. He was actually the last king during the first Beis Hamikdash period, quite a few years after Sanherev. And it says there, Miket Sheva Shanim Tishlichu Ish Es Ochi Vo Ivri Asher Yimocher Loch Vehavinon Ba. Now this pasuk says at the end of 7 years, you shall send you should send your eved free. Vehavinon Ba Miket Sheva Shanim Vehadar Ksiv V'avdecha sheish shanim. Another pasuk says that he'll work for you 6 years. V'omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok sheish lanimkar v'sheva lanirtza. Let us go over this last point. We see in these psukim, one pasuk says, Miketz sheva shonim tishalchu ish esochiv u'ivri ashim ocher loch. One pasuk says that after 7 years, that means a man is working for you for 7 years, but there's another pasuk that says that he'll work for you for 6 years. Now, we know in general that an Eved Ivri, this is a Jew sold into forced servitude or slavery, he works only for a period of 6 years, after which he goes free. Yet we have a pasuk here that says after 7 years he goes free. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok answers that there are two cases. One is sheish, 6 years limit nimkar. That's 6 years of work after which he goes free for a person who's sold. And then there's a case that's featured in the Torah in Parshas Mishpatim. You have an Eved Ivri that says he wants to remain working. He wants to remain beyond the 6 years. So then there's a procedure where his ear is bored. That's called the nirtza. Under such circumstances, he works till the yovel year. What the pasuk is featuring over here, when it says after 7 years he goes free, we're referring to a situation where someone had said after his 6 years he wants to continue. So he continues. Lo and behold, the eighth year of this man's servitude, a yovel comes around. So, in effect, after 7 years of work, he goes free because of the yovel. Now, we've dashed underlined in the Gemara the word nirtza, because the word nirtza, the boring of the ear, is associated with yovel. So, what do we see here? We see a pasuk that's featuring a time period after Sancheirev, and there is a nirtza who goes free at the yovel. So we see the yovel was in practice. The Gemara responds, Hahu betoichocha ksiv. This pasuk is not to be taken literally as a reference to the yovel setting them free. V'ko'omar novi ha-shalachtem. There is chastisement in this pasuk. If we look at the Rashi, Yirmiya, the prophet, is chastising them. Did you in the past, he's addressing the Jewish people, and saying to them, did you in the past fulfill the laws of sending your servants free when you were supposed to? Not that now there is Yovel, because Yovel is Botel, as we said before. The Gemara asks, "Vahaksiv," but it says in the same psukim, it says, "Vayishmu vayishalchu." They heard and they acted, so that they actually did send free, and it's not just a chastisement regarding a time in the past. Elo Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Yirmiyo hichziron. In fact, Yovel was reinstated. In other words, what we answered on Omer Aleph is that when what we pointed out on Omer Aleph, that when Sancheirev came and overran the land, the Yovel stopped. The psukim here regarding the time, a later time period, in fact, is explained by the fact that it was reinstated. Because the prophet Yirmiyahu, Hichziron, he went out and returned those tribes that had been exiled years earlier. The Yoshio ben Omoin Molach Aleim, and the king Yoshio was a king in the later part of the first Beis HaMikdash period. He ruled over them. Umenolon de Hodur, and from where do we know that they were returned? Dechtiv, the Pasuk says, Ki hamocher el hamimkar lo yoshuv. This is a prophecy that the people that sold their lands won't return to them. Rashi, Dichtiv, Rashi says, Bimei Tzikyo, this is a pasuk in the time of Tzikyo that says, Ki hamocher el hamimkar lo yoshuv. Deko omalu, the prophet is saying, Soifchem ligolos, Liglois vihe yovel botel. It will happen in the future that you will be sent to exile, and the yovel will stop being in practice. And as a result of the stoppage of yovel, v'lo yachsu sodos abaleim, and the fields that people sold will not be returned to the original owners, as is the case when yovel is in practice. So we have a pasuk stated in the time of Tzidkiyahu, was after the time of Yoshiyahu. And the prophet is saying that a time will come when Yovel will no longer be in practice. The time of Yoshiyahu was after the time of Sanherev. Now, could it be, Efshir Yovel Botel, could it be that Yovel was voided as it was in the time of Sancheirev? Venovi misnabe olav sheyivatel, and you have a prophet in the time of Tzidkiyahu saying that the Yovel will be void? Well, it was already voided in the time of Sancheirev much earlier. Elo malamed, rather this shows us, Shehechziron Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu successfully returned the exiles that had been exiled in the time of Sancheirev. And as a result of that, the Yovel was reinstated. And hence, you could have a prophet at the time of Tzidkiyahu saying that the Yovel will eventually become Botel again. Umin Nolon the Yoshio Molach Aleim. From where do we see that Yoshio ruled over these tribes that were part of the northern kingdom? Yoshio himself was a descendant of Beis David. Beis David, from the time following Shlomo Melech, the time of Rechavam, there was a split in the kingdoms between northern and southern kingdoms. At the point of the exiles caused by Sancheirev, so there remained essentially only the southern kingdom. Now, we're making reference here, and the southern kingdom was ruled by the house of David, his descendants. We just mentioned that Yoshio was a descendant from the house of David, and yet, we have the following pasuk. It says, Dichtiv, regarding Yoshio, it says, Ma vayomer, ma hatziun haloz asher ani roeh, vayomru elov anshei ha'ir, hakever ish ha'elokim asher bo miYehuda, vayikro es hadvorim al hamizbeach beisel. Now, this place called Beisel was part of the northern kingdom. The northern kingdom that had formerly been exiled. V'chima tivo shel Yoshio b'Beisel. What is the nature of Yoshio, who was associated with the southern kingdom, with the kingdom of Yehuda? What's he doing in Beisel? Elo kishichziron Yirmiyahu. When Yirmiyahu returned the exiles, Yoshio Molach Aleihem. Yoshio became the ruler over the entire land of Israel. So it's so you see from here that there was a successful return on the part of Yirmiyahu of his returning the exiles, and Yoshio ruled over them. And with that, we are able to explain all of that which we had learned before, that there was a point in time that the Yovel was Botel, namely when Sancheirev overran the land and caused the exiles to take place. And there was a subsequent restoration of a return of those exiles. And unfortunately, later on, there was a second a second voiding of the Yovel at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Nachman Ritzok Omar Mehocha, a second proof that Yoshio ruled over the northern kingdom. The Pasuk says, Gam Yehuda Shos Kotsir Loch Beshuvi Shvusami. A Kotsir is a leader. And it says that Yehuda placed a ruler over the returnee. So you see from here that Yoshio ruled over the exiles that were returned in the time of, or by the prophet Yirmiyahu. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.